Morning and welcome to our first Sunday morning Facebook message. Hope that you and your family are safe and hope that you're doing well and holding up under everything that's going on around us. Reading out of the book of Acts this morning, Acts chapter 28, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 11. If you have your Bibles at home, I encourage you to open up the scriptures and follow along as I read. It is the last message in a series of messages out of the book of Acts. We started these messages over a year ago, and we have preached on Sunday morning through the entire book of Acts. But in Acts chapter 28, beginning in verse 11, the Bible says this. And after 3 months, we departed into a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the island whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there for 3 days. And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Rhegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteolo, where we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we're thankful, Lord, for your goodness to us. We're thankful for your mercy and for your grace, and we ask your great blessing now upon this message. We pray, Lord, that you draw each of us closer to you in a very real, very powerful, and a very personal way. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help me as I preach this message, that I preach it with fervency, and I preach it, Lord, in a way that pleases you and honors you. Thank you for the opportunity that you give me this morning to stand behind this pulpit and to preach the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please use me this morning, despite my own faults and my own failures, to bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray these things. Well, if you were with us last Sunday morning, we preached to you a message dealing with the fact that Paul, on his way to Rome, having been arrested for preaching the gospel, was shipwrecked. He had tried to warn the captain and the centurion that he had been placed under his authority not to sail because it was not a good time to sail at that time of year. It was in the fall season on the Mediterranean. And shortly after they left, a storm the likes of a typhoon blew in, and the ship that the Apostle Paul was on was just tossed to and fro throughout the sea, throughout the storm. They were going to abandon the ship, but Paul warned them. He said, don't do that. He said, God has spoken to my heart, and if you'll just stay on this ship, all of us will be saved. Close to 300 men were on that ship. If you read through Acts chapter 27, you'll find that the ship hit rocks. And then they did, at that point, have to abandon ship. But they made their way to an island called Miletus. And I'm not going to preach to you about that this morning. It's a great account there in the first several verses of the chapter, where there were some great miracles that had occurred. But last week's message was entitled, A Shelter in the Time of Storm. I'd like to finish, or maybe this is actually the second part to that message that's entitled, Life's Lessons That Are Learned in the Storm. Because so often than not, when we go through difficulties and storms, that's when we learn the greatest lessons. We don't always learn the lessons when we're going through the good times, when we're going through the easy times. It's through the difficult times. That's when we really learn these lessons, and they're really ingrained in our hearts and in our minds and really become part of our faith. So I'll give you 3 points to this morning's message. The first point is this. Listen, God desires to give us patience even in the time of storms. In fact, more so in the time of storm. The Bible says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined and he heard my cry. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not a very patient person. You can especially ask my wife that, especially when we go out to eat. Probably it has to do with the fact if I'm hungry, I'm really not patient at all. But Sometimes you go to the McDonald's, for instance, you go to the drive-up, and you go through the drive-up because you're usually in a hurry. You're on your way from one place to the other. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when you get to the window, and we have a great McDonald's in North Adams, they do a great job, so don't get me wrong. But when you get to the window, sometimes if your order isn't ready, they say, could you please pull over and we'll bring your order out to you. Ugh, I just wanted my food and I wanted to keep going. Now that's really not a very important thing in life, but sometimes we can be that impatient. Well, we're really being called upon today to be patient. There is a lot going on around us. And God desires to give us patience in the storm. God uses things in life and times in life to cultivate patience, cultivate the practice of waiting. We don't always like to wait, as I just said. But the scriptures are filled with verses that tell us the importance of waiting and waiting upon God's timing. In the book of Isaiah, it says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Well, that's a great verse out of God's word. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We're being called to do a lot of waiting right now. We've all been called to wait until this pandemic runs its course. And for many of us, that means we have to stay at home. And our wives are at home. And our children are at home. And there's not a lot that we can do outside of the home. In some areas of the country, most businesses are shut down. But it's a time that you and I can learn to cultivate waiting. And we can learn that we just have to wait for things at times. God, in our personal walk with Him, desires that we wait. Sometimes our prayers are answered maybe in moments. Sometimes our prayers are answered in hours, sometimes in days, sometimes in months, sometimes in years. God answers prayer, and sometimes we need to wait. And I don't know about you, but that second part of that verse that said that God shall renew their strength and they shall mount up with wings as eagles and they shall run and be not weary. I am looking forward to the day when the pandemic has passed, we can get back out of our houses, we can go back to what we call normal living. And I like to be busy. I like to stay active. I like to do things. I like to be on the go, and I know most of you do as well. But we have to cultivate the practice of waiting right now. There's not only a physical application to that, but there's a spiritual application to that. The scriptures say this, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Where the scriptures say that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Well, as this time goes on, it may seem like one day, it seems like it's 1,000 years, but it's not. It's just 24 hours, and we can wait this out and do our part and learn from this experience that whether we're dealing with the virus or we're waiting upon the Lord, it's important that we cultivate a time of waiting, cultivate the practice of waiting in our lives. And God will calm us. Someone wrote this. They said, sometimes God calms the storm, and other times He calms His child. And right now the storm is raging in our country. We need God to calm us. So cultivate the practice of waiting. Use this time for that. Then it's important that we also comprehend, why is it that God wants us to wait? What is He trying to teach us? What is He trying to show us? What kind of instruction is God trying to give us when we have to wait, whether it's now or whatever we're dealing with in life? He teaches us the why and the what and the where and the when of waiting. Scriptures are filled with great verses that encourage us. The Bible says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. That's what I mean by comprehending the purpose of why does God have us to wait? Well, he strengthens our heart during this time. There's a lot of fear and a lot of anxiety going around. But as we wait upon the Lord, he'll strengthen our heart. He'll solidify our faith. And that's so important. And then we can take our faith and the strength that God gives us, and we can share it with others. The scriptures say, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Well, one of the great truths about waiting on God and his word and the promises that God gives us in his word is that we see that they're true. We read through the scriptures. We see the great promises that God gives us. We claim these promises that God gives us. And then over time, we see how God works out these promises in our lives. And what it does, it just fortifies our faith in the fact that God's word is just that. It is the word of God. That all scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, meaning mature, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Times of waiting, as we read these great verses in God's word and apply them to our heart, and then we watch over time as God manifests himself through his word. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help, and he is our shield. But then I noticed in these verses that God had to give the Apostle Paul time and patience. You know, this trip shouldn't have taken more than a couple of weeks. It's taking him months to get to Rome. It's taking him months to appeal his case before Caesar. And he's learning during this time how God works through waiting and how he can have an impact upon those that are around him. So secondly, God not only gives patience in the storm, but God gives us people in the storm. He puts people in our paths. The shipwreck that Paul was involved with, he ends up on an island called Melita. And there on that island are a group of people that are very kind and very courteous to the Apostle Paul. And they're a great help to him. Listen, God gives us people during the storm. Paul would in turn be very kind to them and would share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And God would use him to provide some great miracles on that island and to be a great help to those people. That's really a different message for a different time, but it's a wonderful thing that how God used Paul there on the island. But as they left that island and they continued on the journey, in verse 14, it says, well, let me back up to verse 13. It says, and from thence we fetched a compass and came to Rhegium. And after one day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteoli, where we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them for 7 days. Oh, I'm sure he was so encouraged by those brothers in Christ that he found there, and he could spend some time with them. God gives people during the storm. Bible says this, and let us consider one another to provoke unto one another love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The scripture says to provoke one another to love and to good works. Now, ironically, it said not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Well, we can't right now assemble together. That's really just about an impossibility. But while we can't assemble physically, we can assemble spiritually. We can pray for one another, be an encouragement. And while we can't assemble physically, we're able, through modern technology, to assemble technologically. What a blessing that is. God gives us people. He gives us people for a couple of reasons. He gives us people to console one another, to be a comfort to one another. You know, there's a great story that took place many, many years ago in the 1940s. You know, one of the things that I'm very disappointed about with regards to everything that's going on is I'm a big baseball fan. So the baseball season, who knows when it or if ever it's going to start. But there's a famous story that took place back in the 1940s. And it had to do with Jackie Robinson. He was the first African-American man to play in Major League Baseball. And he made an error one day. And if you've ever read the story of Jackie Robinson, he was horribly ridiculed and scorned, and just some vicious things were said about him. And so one day he had made an error, and the people were just being so unkind to him. In fact, he said in his biography that he was so discouraged, he almost felt like walking off the field. But one of his teammates came up to him, Pee Wee Reese. And Pee Wee Reese put his arm around him, told him to be okay. He said that small gesture did more to keep him playing professional baseball and to dealing with all of the hate and all of the bias than anything else. See, God gives us people. God gives us people during the storm. God gives us people who call us and encourage us. God gives us people who pray for us. God gives us people to console one another, to comfort and exhort one another. He gives us people to encourage one another. In 2 Chronicles, there's a great account in the Bible that says this: "Be strong and courageous, and be not afraid nor dismayed, for the king of Israel, or excuse me, for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there is more with us than with him." The king of Assyria, Sennacherib, had invaded Israel. And he had conquered many other countries around Israel, and he was conquering some of the smaller towns and cities in Israel. And he placed Jerusalem under siege. And Isaiah the prophet and the king, King Hezekiah, got together, and they bowed and they prayed before God. And these actually were the words, I believe, of Elijah earlier on when he had said, "Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, for all the multitude that is with him, for there is more with us than with him." Well, it was a huge army. But because Hezekiah and because Isaiah had God on their side, there is always more with us when God's on our side. I think it was Martin Luther that said, "One with God is a majority." And so we're called to be strong and to be courageous and to encourage one another. Listen, God is far more powerful than the coronavirus. And whether he removes that virus from our country or he lets it run his course, he has promised to give us the courage to deal with whatever comes our way. And he's promised to place people in our lives to encourage us with whatever comes our way. And so, lessons that we learn from the time of a storm: God gives us patience in the storm. God gives us people to lean on in the storm. And God gives persistence through the storm. One of the things about the Apostle Paul throughout his life, and you read about his life, is he was persistent. Here he is, he finally makes it to Rome in verse 16. "And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him." Just Paul and the soldier. I can guarantee you that Paul shared the gospel with this soldier wherever Paul went. He was persistent in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Listen, whether Paul was free, he preached the gospel of Christ. Whether he was imprisoned, he preached the gospel of Christ. Whether he was shipwrecked, he preached the gospel of Christ. Whether he was snake bitten, he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, he would write in 1 Corinthians, therefore, my brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Paul was persistent, and God gives us persistence. If anyone should want to give up and quit, the Apostle Paul would have been one of those people. This was the third time he was shipwrecked. And it wasn't the first time he had been arrested. He'd been arrested and imprisoned numerous times. He had been left for dead after he had been stoned. He had been robbed. He had to deal with the heat of the day and the cold of the night. He had to deal with being ostracized and ridiculed, even sometimes by believers, and to defend his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he was persistent. He moved forward. Even in verse 30, it says, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Wow. For those, by the way, those 2 years that he was under house arrest, they were some of the most productive years of Paul's life. In those 2 years, he wrote the book of Ephesians, he wrote the book of Philippians, he wrote the book of Colossians, and he wrote the book of Philemon. Those books, obviously, being the Word of God, are still having an influence on people today, and people are coming to know Christ through those scriptures. But in verse 17, it says, and it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said unto them, men and brethren, though I've committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who when they had examined me would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, I have called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. That little phrase, for the hope of Israel, I am bound in this chain. The hope of Israel is a reference to Jesus Christ as being the Messiah. He is the hope of Israel. And not only is Jesus Christ the hope of Israel, he is the hope of all mankind. Because it is through his death, it is through his burial and through his resurrection that your sins and my sins are forgiven. That in him we have new life. We have eternal life. See, Paul's persistence, his call to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, nothing would stop that. And nothing should stop you and I from sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in a world in which we live. Even at this difficult time. In fact, perhaps more so during this difficult time. Paul wrote it this way. He said, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That he died for our sins. He died for my sins and he died for your sins. For all have sinned, the Bible says, and come short of the glory of God. We're all born into this world as sinners. We have a sinful nature. And no matter how good we try to be, no matter how religious we try to be, no matter how churchy we try to be, none of that is enough to pay for our sin. Only Jesus could pay for our sin. Because he was the only one that lived without sin. He was the Son of God. God became a man. And he lived in this world for 33 years. And he never sinned. That's why when he went to the cross and your sin and my sin was placed upon him on the cross, that God the Father could accept the sacrifice of God the Son. Because it was a pure sacrifice. It was a sinless sacrifice. And only Jesus could pay that price. The debt is too great. The debt is too much for you and I to pay. Only Jesus could pay that sin price. And he did. And to prove that he did, he was buried. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead, victorious over sin and victorious over death. And he says in his word that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You have to admit that you're a sinner. You have to believe that Jesus died and he paid for your sin, that he was your sacrifice, that he was your payment. And if by faith you'll call upon what he did for you 2,000 years ago, he promises to give you eternal life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Have you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Do you know him this morning as your Savior? He loves you. He cares for you more than you'll ever know. That's why he went to the cross. And I want to tell you this morning, I don't care who you are, there's no sin too great that he can't forgive you for that sin. The Bible says that, or it's been said, that he dies for the uttermost to the guttermost. He came to die for the sins of the world. Call upon him this morning. Ask him to be your Savior. Admit to him that you're a sinner. Put your faith and trust in the finished work of the cross of Calvary. So these are lessons that we learn in life's storms. God will give us patience to get through the storm. He will. He already is. God gives us people during the storm. There's wonderful people right now working all around us. On Wednesday, I prayed for the first responders, the nurses, the doctors, any of the support that's taking place all around us. Keep them in your prayers. I know that they appreciate it. Be an encouragement to them. But your brothers and sisters in Christ, an encouragement to them. Your children, your grandchildren, your moms, your dads, our singles. Be an encouragement to them. But be persistent. Be persistent in your faith. Just as Paul was persistent wherever he was to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I, let's be persistent in all that we do, whether it's our witnessing or just living out our faith in a world that desperately needs hope. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. Thank you again, as always, Lord, for your goodness to us and your mercy and your grace. We ask and pray, Lord, that these words this morning, as we have looked into your scriptures and seen these lessons that the Apostle Paul and the storm that he faced in his life, that we can make application to our lives. And I pray for sure, Lord, this morning, if there's anyone that has watched this message, that right now they're thinking, do I know Christ as my Savior? Have I ever received him? I pray, Lord, that this morning, that right now where they sit, right where they're watching this, that they call upon Jesus, that they admit that they're a sinner, that they believe by faith in their heart that Jesus died and paid for their sin, and they'll call upon him, and they'll be born again into the family of God. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and thanks for tuning in this morning.